In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In his encyclical letter on the kingship of Jesus Christ, dated December the 11th, 1925, Pope Pius the 11th wrote, quote, "Therefore, by our apostolic authority, we institute the feast of the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ to be observed yearly throughout the whole world on the last Sunday of the month of October. The Sunday, that is, which immediately precedes the Feast of All Saints. We further ordain that the dedication of mankind to the Sacred Heart of Jesus be made annually on that day." Close quote. So let us kneel and pray the prayer of consecration of the human race to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, as mandated by Pope Pius the 11th for this day. Consecration of the human race to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Most sweet Jesus, Redeemer of the human race, look down upon us humbly prostrate before thy cross. We are thine, and thine we wish to be. But to be more surely united to thee, behold, each one of us this day freely consecrates himself to thy most Sacred Heart. Many indeed have never known thee. Many too, despising thy precepts, have rejected thee. Have mercy on them all, most merciful Jesus, and draw them to thy Sacred Heart. Be thou King, O Lord, not only of the faithful who have never forsaken thee, but also of the prodigal children who have abandoned thee. Grant that they may quickly return to their father's house, lest they perish of wretchedness and hunger. Be thou King of those whom heresy holds in error or discord keeps aloof. Call them back to the harbor of truth and the unity of faith, so that soon there may be but one fold and one shepherd. Be thou King of all those who even now sit in the darkness of idolatry or Islam, and refuse not to bring them into the light of thy kingdom. Finally, turn thine eyes of pity upon the children of that race, which was for so long a time thy chosen people, and let thy blood, which was once invoked upon them in vengeance, now descend upon them also in a cleansing flood of redemption and eternal life. Grant, O Lord, to thy church assurance of freedom and immunity from harm. Give peace and order to all nations, and bring it to pass that from pole to pole the earth may resound with one cry, "Praise to the Divine Heart that wrought our salvation. To it be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Today is the feast of Christ the King. As I mentioned to you last Sunday, this title of our Savior Jesus Christ is a summary of our entire Catholic faith. When we turn to our Savior Jesus Christ in prayer and thought, let us make a special effort to consider his person, to consider him as King, as the one who rules supremely over each one of us and over his entire creation. This morning I begin by quoting a brief passage to you, pretty much it's a prayer, a brief passage from five of the different saints. This also in preparation for All Saints that is fast approaching this coming Friday. But each of these saints, in the way they express themselves in their prayer, are acknowledging in a very beautiful and profound way the fact that our Savior Jesus Christ is King. And so by the words of their prayers, this also helps us to understand better and appreciate the significance of Jesus Christ, King. So the first one is St. Augustine. And St. Augustine prays to Christ as follows. Thou art Christ, my Holy Father, my tender God, my great King, my good Shepherd, my one Master, my best Helper, my most beautiful and my beloved, my living bread, my priest forever, my leader to my country, my true light, my holy sweetness, my straight way, my excellent wisdom, my pure simplicity, my pacific harmony, my whole guard, my good portion, my everlasting salvation. St. Augustine obviously truly believed this. He turned to our Savior Jesus Christ with these words, expressing what was in his heart and expressing how he believed and how he lived, submitting himself to the kingship of our Savior Jesus Christ. And he was able to see in Christ all of these different, we might say, mysteries, because he truly believed that Christ is his King. So that every aspect of his life falls under the dominion of Christ. Next example, St. Bonaventure prays as follows. This is just a brief excerpt from his prayer. It's a prayer that many of us are familiar with because it's one of the great prayers that we can pray in thanksgiving to Jesus after Holy Communion. So this prayer by St. Bonaventure, you have it in your missals. Remember this example of St. Bonaventure because it's especially when we're preparing for Holy Communion. So in our prayers before Holy Communion, and also in the prayers of thanksgiving after Holy Communion. These are very, again, privileged moments when we turn to our Savior Jesus Christ, and it's a great good to also turn to Him, acknowledging Him as my King. Everything in me, everything that I have, everything that I am, I subject it to Thee, O Lord Jesus Christ. Be Thou King of my life. Rule over me. Help me to obey Thy commands. So St. Bonaventure prays as follows. O most sweet Lord Jesus, my hope and my whole confidence, my riches, my delight, my pleasure and my joy, my rest and tranquility, my peace, my sweetness, my fragrance, my sweet savor, my food and refreshment, my refuge and my help, my wisdom, my portion, my possession, and my treasure. St. Gertrude the Great invokes Jesus as the eternal sweetness of those who love Him. King most beloved, inexhaustible fountain of mercy, mighty King, strong Lion of the tribe of Judah, splendor of the Father's glory. Again, all of these expressions from the saints are heartfelt. They are living them. And they are expressions of the kingship of Christ. When we really believe and accept Christ as our King, This is the way we will also express ourselves. We will see in Him our rest, our tranquility, our strength, our refuge, our pleasure. St. Alphonsus Liguori prays as follows. O my Jesus, my God and King, I love Thee above everything. I love only Thee. I renounce all creatures and give myself entirely to Thee, my Jesus, my Savior, my Comforter, my Hope, my Love, my All. Thou art the King of my heart. I desire nothing, either in this life or in the next, but to possess the treasure of Thy love. I am unwilling that creatures should have any more a place in my heart. Thou alone must be its master. To Thee only shall it belong for the future. Thou only shalt be my God, my repose, my desire, all my love. Beautiful words by St. Alphonsus Liguori. And this is what it means for Christ to be my King. No creature, no created thing should have any more a place in my heart. That's the way St. Alphonsus Liguori is praying. Because Thou alone, Jesus, Thou alone must be its master, its King. If Jesus is truly the King of your heart, then no one else, nothing that the world can offer you will draw your heart or attract your heart away from Christ, because He is the King of your heart. And let us never forget that what we should always pray for is that Christ reign in my intellect, that He be the King of my mind, that He reign in my will, that He be the King of my will, of all the decisions that I make, of what I will, what I desire. So King of my intellect, King of my will, we pray, may Christ reign in my heart, which is what's being expressed here by St. Alphonsus Liguori. I am unwilling that creatures should have any more a place in my heart. Thou alone must be its master. To Thee only shall it belong for the future. And then we pray, may Christ reign in my body. King of my mind, King of my will, King of my heart, King of my body. The final example from the saints that we have is St. Anthony Mary Claret. And as hopefully some of you know, we just celebrated his feast 4 days ago on October the 23rd. So St. Anthony Mary Claret, he prays as follows. O Lord, Thou art my love. Thou art my honor, my hope, and my refuge, my glory, and my last end. O my love, my happiness, my conserver, my joy, my reformer, and my master. Thou art my Father, the spouse of my life and of my soul. I do not seek or desire to know anything but Thy holy will in order to do it. I love only Thee, my God, and all other things only for Thee, in Thee, and for Thy sake. Help me to love Thee as Thou dost love me, and as Thou willest that I should love Thee. In this prayer, St. Anthony Mary Claret, he expresses well what it means for Christ to be the King of my mind and of my will. When he prays, I do not seek or desire to know anything but thy holy will in order to carry it out. I'm not seeking knowledge, like I'm not seeking all this worldly knowledge. What I seek to know is thy holy will. And I desire to carry out thy holy will. That's what it means for Christ to be the king of my mind and the king of my will. So, keep this very much in mind, that when we turn to Jesus Christ and when we invoke Him as King, when we recognize that He is King, this truly is a summary of all our Catholic faith. It's also a summary of all of our Catholic spirituality. And I want to emphasize today once again what I mentioned to you last Sunday, specifically those verses from Sacred Scripture. Because here in today's epistle, the epistle for today's Mass from Colossians chapter 1, we have straight from the inspired Word of God also a magnificent presentation of what it means that Christ is King. That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, today's epistle. All things, there are no exceptions, remember this, all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, were created in Christ, by Him and for Him. All things created were created in Christ and for Christ. They are meant to serve Christ. So again, Jesus Christ, King, means that everything, without exception, must be subject to Him and must serve Him. So, for example, nations, the state, public institutions. Again, institutions of education. Whatever public institution of education, whether it's for the very small and the very young, all the way up to whatever, the highest universities, they are to be subject to Christ and must serve Him. Everything has been created in Christ and for Christ. What else? The press. As I was mentioning to you last Sunday, be careful not to confuse the ideas that come from our culture or from our country with our Catholic religion. Because there's a lot that is, not a lot, basically, the founding principles of our country are not Catholic and are contrary to the kingship of Christ. There is no such thing as an absolute freedom of the press from the perspective of Christ the King, if by that you understand that those in the press can print whatever they want to print. Of course not. They have an obligation to subject themselves to Christ and to serve Him. So obviously, they don't have any right given to them by God to be printing falsehoods, to be printing and publishing impurities, etc., etc. All the things that are contrary to Christ and contrary to God's commandments. The press has no God-given right to be printing those things. Because again, they must subject themselves to Christ. Everything, without exception. So, as I also mentioned last Sunday, this applies to also science and technology, the arts. Science, technology, the arts. Whatever institution, whatever societal endeavor there is, Christ is King. Again, that's why I encourage you, continue, make it a point to familiarize yourselves with those verses from Colossians chapter 1, today, from today's epistle. This is telling us what it really means to say, yes, Christ is King. Because what should be very obvious to all of us is that at so many different levels in our personal lives, but also most definitely at the level of society and at the level of the country, we have and continue to reject the kingship of Christ. Many people, they're not saying this necessarily explicitly, but by their actions and by the way they're living, they're saying, okay, well, maybe I'll allow Christ to rule in my life in some ways, and I'll pray to Him when I need His help, and I'll go to Mass on Sundays when it's not a real big inconvenience. But the Supreme Court can rule whatever they want, and I have to respect that. And the politicians can make whatever laws they want, and you know, I have to respect that. And I have to believe in freedom of the press. They can print whatever they want. All of those things are completely contrary to the kingship of Christ. And it's a rejection of His kingship, and it's a rejection of Him. He is the Lord of everything. Obviously, it's going to be extremely difficult for us to, let's say, turn things around, for example, in our country. And quite honestly, I don't think we're going to make it. I think we're going to need an incredible chastisement from God to help us along. So I don't think we're going to make it. But the really important thing to remember is that as Catholics, we have to be clear and we have to believe in what the kingship of Christ means. And what we have to do is not fall prey or not fall in the trap of thinking in all of these ways and living in accord with these false beliefs that go against the kingship of Christ. And we have to do the very best that we can to plant those seeds in others and to let them know, no, Christ is King. He is King of all the public institutions, all of the schools. It doesn't matter what kind of a school it is. It doesn't matter if it's a public school. Whatever school it is, that school has the duty to serve Christ and to form young ones in the commandments of God and in virtue. Faithful, let's say, to the Ten Commandments. Faithful to, again, Christian virtue. Now, whether they do that or not, again, we're saying most are going to reject the kingship of Christ. Well, we can't force others to accept His kingship, but we have to be clear and we have to truly believe on what it means and not think that just because something is out there in the public that it doesn't fall under the kingship of Christ. Just think about religion. Religion itself has been created by Christ and for Christ. It must serve Him. And that's why it's completely heretical and blasphemous to say, okay, well, anybody can have whatever religion they want. Then whom is religion serving? Serving oneself. Religion has to serve Christ. We all have the duty to search for the truth, especially when it comes to religious matters, and to find and discover the one true religion, the one true Catholic religion. And may we never think that all of these false religions that reject Christ, that don't accept His divinity, that don't accept His kingship, that don't accept His real presence in the most blessed sacrament of the altar, there He is, always present, ruling as our King. All those religions that don't accept those truths, how can those religions possibly be pleasing to God? God's calling us to conversion. Christ is calling us to truly recognize His kingship. And especially remember, because again, like I've been saying, as individuals, it's not very likely that we're going to be able to change the trajectory of our country, where Christ's kingship is being repeatedly rejected and set aside. But what we most certainly can do and must do is strive with every ounce of our strength to make Him the King of our lives. that he be the king of my marriage. My marriage is not meant to serve me. It's meant to serve Christ. That's why I have to also learn to sacrifice for my spouse and to put the needs and wants of my spouse and my children first. For children, your family is to serve Christ, not to serve yourselves. That's why you obey your parents. In obeying your parents, you're obeying Christ. Christ has placed you there for a reason, so that you learn and you practice obedience every day. That's what it means to believe in Christ and to say Christ is King. We have to subject all aspects of our lives to Christ. So our families, our marriages, and especially my intellect, my will, my heart, my body. And that's not easy. Believe me, there you will engage in the great battle, the great spiritual combat, where on the one side is Christ, who is the true King. On the other side, you have the world, the devil, and your own flesh that are trying to dominate your mind, your intellect, your will, your heart, and your body. And that's our great task. It's an example of why I say that Christ King is also a summary of all our Catholic spirituality. Because the saint is the one who truly subjects his intellect to Christ, who truly subjects his will to Christ. That's why St. Anthony Mary Claret, in what I just read to you, that's why he prays, I do not seek or desire to know anything but thy holy will. In order to do it, that's all that matters to me. That's why I'm here. The devil, the world, and my own flesh is always pulling me away from that. And that applies again to my mind, what I put in my mind. It applies to my will. It applies to my heart. It applies to my body. Let us never cease to pray and ask for the grace from Christ the King, so that he may truly reign in my intellect, my will, my heart, and my body. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.